Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. It's a good thing to be in the house of God amongst people of God. Amen. I think that's key. I know some people go to church and they hate going to church. Right? It's like, oh, they dragging me to church again. But when you can go to the church and have people with like mind, have the same spirit, you know what I mean? It really makes a difference, amen? Prior to this, I got to meet a new artist out here that does gospel music, and he lives all the way out in Marysville, so it was a strike for him to come out here. That means it was kind of far. So he was there, and he was like, man, I'm just glad I could be around people that are doing the music the same way I'm doing it. You know, I'm always around other people, and they're not really using their music and their gifts for God, but when you're around people that use it for God, it just gets you encouraged. It gets you fired up. And that's what church should do for us. Amen. Is when we get amongst the people of God, it should fire us up. Amen. All right. We're going to hop into it. I'm going to pray. And we're going to get to my series called Back to the Basics. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you to God for your word, Lord. First of all, we thank you to God that you sent your word, dear God, so that we can understand you, dear God, so that we can get to know you better, dear God, so that we can follow the plans that you have for our lives. And your word says you have plans to prosper and not to harm us, plans to give us a hope and a future, dear God. So as we read your word and as we speak today, dear God, let your word go forth and empower us to become who you've called us to be. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Let the church say, amen. So I started last week back to the basics, and we started with the first key point was prayer. Prayer is very important to your Christian walk, okay? Last week we talked about interceding, and I'm going to ask if anybody was able to complete the challenge that I asked on Saturday. Some of you guys weren't here, but the challenge was to pray for somebody last week. This past week, go pray for somebody that you don't normally pray for, or you just see there's a need, just go and pray for somebody. And did anybody do that? Anybody raise their hand and say, hey, I was able to, I know Michael and Monica are out right now. You pray for somebody? Okay, Elton, who'd you pray for? That's good, a friend of mine at school. Come on, that's good. Monica, were you able to pray for somebody this week? Who did you pray for? Michael, it had to be somebody out the norm. She wasn't here. Okay, somebody at work. Praise the Lord. Anybody else get to? As I was driving, I saw somebody at my kid's school, and I felt that I needed to pray for them, and I prayed for her. She had just she had fainted or something. I don't know what. She had passed out, and she didn't know what was wrong with her. She had that happen over the weekend. So I went to pray for her, and she just starts crying. It was like, wow, I'm just thankful that you would pray for me. And we see these people all the time. But when you take that step to intercede and let them know that we are praying and believing with you, it makes a difference. Amen. So I want to, if you didn't get to pray for somebody this week, you didn't get to intercede, I want you to actually lay hands on somebody and pray with somebody this week and see what God will do. Amen. My prayer was, I said, when we pray, when you go back to the hospital, I expect them to find you healthy. All right. So when you come back, I'm expecting a report of good health. Amen. You have to pray and believe. All right. It does no good for us to pray. And Jay Ma said it like this. Don't pray and worry. Right. It does no good to pray about something and then just worry about God. I wonder if God can actually. No, he will do. If you believe, you have to put your faith and match it with your prayer. Amen. So we talked about interceding. Briefly, we talked about Abraham interceding for Sodom and Gomorrah. We also talked about Moses interceding for the people of Israel in the desert. And then we talked about briefly about the intercessory prayer that the apostles asked for, and James encouraged and told us to pray even for the believers. So today we're going to talk about presenting your requests to God. It is important, a lot of us pray, and it's always about our requests, right? We have prayer requests. We go to God and say, God, I need this. I have this going on in my life. And there's nothing wrong with that. But you know there's a way that you have to do it, right? You can't just come to God and be like, God, I need $1 million, right? And you know, you guys hear me say that a lot. But when you pray that, there has to be some kind of connection to God's will, right? A lot of times, hey, growing up in church, you might see somebody that's praying for a husband or a spouse, or and that person is not really the person that God has for them. And how do I know it? Because they don't talk about God, right? I was listening to a radio show. They was like, don't even tell somebody you're saved on the first date and just see what comes out of their mouth. And if God is not in that conversation, get up, say, I'm going to go to the restroom. And go to the restroom at your house. and be like, I can't do it. Why? Because the will that they have or what they really desire is going to come out of their mouth. Just think about it. The things that we talk about, those are things that we really desire. Right? If you don't like geometry, I guarantee you ain't gonna talk about geometry, right? Come on, can we be real? If you don't like something, that's not gonna be the first thing that comes out your mouth. Oh, the solar system. I might not be into the solar system, so when I get into a conversation with somebody, I'm not gonna be like, "Hey, how vast those stars are? Hey, have you got your telescope out and looked into?" Like, that's not my thing, right? And for some people, that is their thing, and I'm not knocking that, but there is certain things inside of you that will come out, and God's will has to be what comes out when you are making prayer requests, okay? How do we know God's will? First of all, you have to know his word. God's will be spoken to you in through his word, but he also will show you his will through the gifts that he's already given to you. That's why it's dangerous when people don't believe that they're gifted. The enemy wants you to think that you are not good at anything. Have you ever caught that before? So some people will have low self-esteem and I don't really know what I'm good at. And the funny thing is people all around them, hey, but you're good at this. Oh, not really, I don't know. Like, I was listening to another radio show, it's funny. This lady was like, yeah, I'm good at these things and everybody says I should sell them, but I don't believe it. And she was like, the guy on the show, it's a podcast that talks about helping people pretty much find their gifts. And he was like, why are you doubting yourself so much? If you have multiple people telling you that you're really good at something, why do you doubt yourself? Insecurity. Okay, so anyway, we're going to get to this. Presenting your requests to God. I have a few scriptures about presenting your requests of God to God. And we're going to talk about also the hindrances. Somebody say hindrances to your request. Do you know that there's a hindrance? First of all, there's several hindrances to your prayer requests being answered. Okay. Some people are like, I don't know. I don't believe it. There is. Okay, so let's go to 1 John 5:14-15. Mike, let's go ahead and put that up. Presenting our requests to God. You can put them both up, please. 1 John 5:14-15. Hallelujah. It says, now this is the, what does that word say right there? Confidence. Okay, so when you make a prayer request to God, it starts with confidence. Now, I teach my kids every day, we got a lot of things that we say before today, but I say confident. They say confident. Confident. They say confident again. I say confident. And then I say, I am confident. And they repeat that. Why? Because you have to be confident in what you're doing. If you are not confident in your prayer, don't expect God to move. Okay? This is not a genie. This is not a, hope. Prayer is not a hope thing. You guys catch that? Prayer is not, I hope God can do it. Because he can. He can do no matter what you, no matter what it is that you are asking, as long as what? As you believe and it's in line with his will. Okay? So it says, now this is the confidence. Everybody say confidence. I'm going to pray with? When I send my prayer to God, it has to have? Okay, that means I got to believe it. Okay? Next time you pray for somebody, start with confidence. All right? I don't care how bleak, how bad the situation looks, you start with confidence. Not confidence in yourself, but confidence in a God that is able to do exceedingly above and beyond what we can think, ask, or imagine. Amen? So it says, now this is the confidence that we have in him. That if we ask, what does that word say? Anything according to his will. So you can have confidence as long as it is anything according to his will. Okay? Here's the promise that we get. It says he hears us. All right? Now, I think all Christians go through that time where you're praying and you're wondering, God, do you hear me? But you have to have confidence that he is hearing you. You have to have confidence, even if the situation doesn't change at that moment. I, as a believer in Christ, have to have confidence that God hears my prayers and he's acting on behalf of those prayers. He will hear us. Then it says this. It doesn't just say he will hear us. It says, and if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. That means we know that our prayers will be answered. Okay? Today, in the day and age of this era of church that we are in, many people don't believe that. That's why they don't pray. Prayer request. What am I sending a prayer request for God to for? Right? Do you believe in God? Yeah, sort of, you know. Do you believe in the word of God? Most of it. Right? But what about prayer? I would pray, but it's hard. Right? We've all been there, even us as believers. The first time we had to pray all night, that was hard. And I couldn't wait till we started worshiping and praying, because that at least gives a little more energy to it. But as you learn to build your prayer life, as you learn to pray with confidence, it starts to change things. There was a moment this week where God spoke something to me, and it was about warfare prayer, and he's talked about speaking confidently. So I start praying, and my kids, you know, I got Lil Cell, Mari, and I call her my niece, Lola. They're at the house, so they just hear me walk. In the name of Jesus, we bind any, you know, I'm just going in, and they're like, wow. You know, they watching me, and what Kiki has been doing every day is like, Daddy, can you pray for me? Every time I start praying, Daddy, can you pray for me? So I'm like, yeah, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, we speak obedience. I pray that with confidence. Amen. You know what I mean? She loves for me to pray for her. But she understands there's something different when Daddy prays. I don't talk. I talk a lot of times with confidence. But your prayer has a stronger confidence because it's not just me anymore. So when you pray, when you present your requests, a couple of things we have to catch is we have to have confidence. It has to be anything that is according to his will. My dad talks about this meeting that he goes to at times and how some people struggle with his will. Right? Is healing God's will? Yes, it is. Right? Is salvation God's will? Of course. Right? How do we know this? Because that's what Jesus operated in. And it says, Jesus said when he left, we will do greater things than he did, right? And that has to be in alignment with his will, because that's the mandate that he left us with. He said, everybody in this building has accepted Jesus Christ. When you receive me, you receive the power of God, and the Holy Spirit that is within you is going to do greater works. But you have to have confidence in God, okay? Not confidence in yourself. Because there's a scripture in the Bible where these sons of Sceva had confidence in themselves. All the disciples, they're over there doing, hey, we can do that too. Yeah, I can. Let's just learn it. So they try to cast demons out. And what happened? It said the demons whooped their butts, literally, with no belts, right? Made them lose their clothes, lose their mind, right? Because they tried to do it in their own confidence. We do not operate in our confidence. Because your confidence is according to what you know. So we surrender and say, God, you are all knowing. You are omniscient. You are omnipotent. You are omnipresent. That means, God, you're everywhere. You know all things. There is nothing hidden from you. So, God, when we pray, even when I don't know the words to say, I begin to speak in tongues and make my request known to God. And the Bible says that the perfect prayer of speaking in tongues, he will reveal it to you so you know what to pray for. You ever been praying for somebody didn't know what to pray for? Now, you know, with some people, they're so scary about tongues. So a lot of times I just speak them under my breath. I remember we were downtown and we prayed for this lady. And I didn't know what to pray for. She needed prayer. She came and said she needed some prayer. But then the Lord, the Spirit of God began to tell me things about her childhood. Tell me things about what had happened and how she had been felt rejected her whole life, even by her dad who was with her. And she just began to sob. She began to cry, and we just began to pray. And I told her that God loves you. He accepts you. He has a purpose for your life. And when you do that, now God gives me insight, because I humble myself and say, I don't know it all. It's important to get to that point. We don't know everything that people are going through. So I must even ask God to show me what to pray for. Somebody say, show me what to pray for. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Let's go ahead and pull that up. This is another part of presenting your request with God. So we got to have confidence. We have to ask according to his will and know that he will answer our prayer. But this is another part of it. When you are presenting your request, it says, be anxious for nothing. What does anxious mean? Worried. What'd you say? Fearful. What'd you say, Darcene? Worrisome. Like, oh, God, Lord, please, I need help, God. No, it says, be anxious for nothing. Relax when you pray. Have you ever, anybody ever did that, it's like I don't know what they call it. It's like when you're standing, somebody behind you is going to catch you. Right? The trust exercise, right? When you're behind, when somebody's behind you, they're supposed to catch you. And some people fall back, but they don't trust you. Right? They're like, oh! I'm like, bro, just fall. We right here. There's like five of us. Come on. But they don't trust. Maybe because there's just different things that have happened in their life. Right? Sometimes we don't know why people don't trust. Other times, maybe they got jokesters behind them. They just want to see them fall. Who knows? Right? But you have to trust God when you pray. You have to get to the point where you say, God, I trust you without a shadow of a doubt. I'm just going to lay back. My kids don't trust me when they get in the water. I'll tell you that. I'd be like, son, look, let me help you backfloat. No, you're killing me. You're going to drown me. Like, I'm like, kids, first of all, I don't want to kill you. What good is that going to do? right? But they are so fearful, not of me, but of the water, that they can't trust somebody they know. Your situations can present that kind of fear if you don't trust God despite what you're going through. Peter trusted God enough to get out in the water, but then he started seeing his circumstances, right? And he was, oh, wait, hold up. I'm actually walking on the water. And then he got confident in himself. I think he started feeling himself a little bit too much. And he started trying to dance. Who knows what he was doing out there? But he lost sight of God. Because you remember, he said, if that's you, God, I will get out there. And he believed. So he was able to do it. But then doubt came in. So we have to trust and never doubt. But it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Okay, so when you pray, we got to get out of our moaning state. Right? You ever prayed and you're just sad? You can't pray like that. It's hard. It's hard to pray when you're down. Part of your answer starts with your thanksgiving. Somebody need to catch that. You want to answer from God, but if you don't come to him with thanksgiving, you're missing the point of what happens when you're in the presence of God. When I was in prayer this week, God said, the weapon of choice for warfare is your prayer. But then he also said, praise is your breakthrough. Worship is your breakthrough. When you are in the presence of God, you have to understand, first of all, the enemy doesn't want you there. The enemy doesn't want you to ask God for help, right? Because when he comes in, the enemy has to leave. The Bible says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Okay? That means there is no bondage where he is at. It's freedom. So when you enter in making prayer requests, come with thanksgiving. All right, so let's break it down, because we know Thanksgiving is a great holiday, right? At least the food part. I know we have a lot of drama that circles around all the stuff around Thanksgiving. But if we could just get to the point where we need to be thankful for what we receive, that's all I want you to catch right now, okay? So when you are thankful, and don't act like y'all don't like eating, okay? But when we are thankful, we come differently. Matter of fact, some of us come with extra plates to take home, extra containers, right? Because we are extremely what? At least thankful, I hope, right? But your mindset changes, right? When it gets closer, they start putting out different pies, different spices, right? Different food. And you're like, "Ooh, I can't wait. I'm making some of y'all hungry right now." Right? Look at Tamron. But when it happens, you're like, wait, I can't wait for that. That's how you need to enter in God's presence. I can't wait, because I know when I give this to him, that preparation, that time, God's going to do something. And many times it's not always just the answer to the prayer. It's the fact that you're willing to give it to God that makes the difference. That's the biggest thing. Okay, so it says, with thanksgiving, let your requests, somebody say requests, be known to God. All right? So when you pray like this, when you're not anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, then you will have peace when you pray.
We're just halfway through this sermon, but our prayer is that God is already speaking a dynamic word to you personally. But don't keep it to yourself. We need you to testify. We want to hear what God is doing. Give us a call or text us at 425-686-8197 to let us know what God is doing. If you're on Facebook, contact us at facebook.com/newcreationcc or on Twitter at newcreationwa. Now, let's tune in for the second half of this sermon.
Anybody been in turmoil when they pray? Right? We've been there. And sometimes that's spiritual warfare, right? But it says, if you want peace when you pray, you have to pray like that. Don't be anxious. Many times when you're praying and you're, oh God, I'm, you know, we have to get out of that little state that we're in where it's almost a pity party prayer, where it's like, God, if you could, Lord, if you're willing, right? I mean, we even got fancy church words for it, right? If you're willing, God, take this cup of, we start praying like Jesus, take this cup from me, right? But go start going with Thanksgiving. God, I'm thankful, first of all, that you woke me up this morning. I say this every day, and I even had to say it when my daughter flooded the house, too. I was like, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Despite you did that, right? I still have to rejoice. And I'm learning that, right? I'm not perfect. Can I, amen? Not perfect. When your kids do something that they shouldn't have did, like, oh, so one of them left the water on when we left the house, right? We came back and there was water on the floor, and you know, my wife was like, that's the whole tax check. I was like, don't say that. Don't say that. All right. But I was walking around and I was kind of frustrated, right? I didn't want to put no holes in the walls or nothing. So I'm just like, ah. And I'm just like, hallelujah. I'm trying to get out of that mindset. Thank you, Jesus. This is the day. And I'm telling my kids, I don't know. I don't care how bad it looks. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad. And I might have said that scripture about 10 times so I can get out of that mold. Cause, and then I had to leave the house just for clarity, right? But what I'm doing is I'm speaking the word over my situation. But you have to have the word in you. Now I'm gonna be clear. Some choice words was very close to happening. When you walk in, you're like, oh Lord, what happened? And you know, I ain't cussed in a long time, but it was like, oh Jesus, help me. Because when stuff is out of your hands, you got to watch what comes out. I remember when I fasted one time, I said a cuss word. I was working at my job. I was fasting. And I said a cuss word, and I was like, whoa, God, where did that come? And it was something I never say this kind of stuff. So it was funny. To me, I was like, why the heck I say that? And then God was like, watch what you're watching. You started letting this thing come in, and you can't let that come in. So I was like, okay, Lord. But instead of pity, woe is me, we have to get into a mind state of thanksgiving. Amen? And then it says, and the peace of God, and I want that peace, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts. And it just doesn't stop there. It says, and minds through Christ Jesus. When you are in the middle of a situation or a storm, many times your mind is the thing that needs to be guarded. Right? Your mind is the thing that's constantly worrying. I have a friend right now who they haven't been able to say that he has some health problems, but I believe it's his mind. Right? You ever heard, been around somebody that always believed there's something wrong? Right? It's just like, bro, you got to chill, man. You're good. But what happens is they get caught up in that mindset. So I send them scriptures. Bro, trust in the Lord. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Okay? Why? Because I believe this word works, but it has to be something he gets. If your mind is anxious, you need to go to Thanksgiving. You need to let God know what's going on and go with Thanksgiving. Amen? All right. We're going to move to these next 2 points. And these are two things that hinder your prayers. Somebody say hinder your prayers. Now, it does no good for you to send up a SOS sign. You ever been, you know, you Anybody seen Gilligan's Island? Right? And they need to get off. So sometimes they got a flare gun. They shoot the flare gun. But it does no good for you to shoot a flare gun inside a building. Right? That's what happens when you have prayers and they're being hindered. So I'm going to say three of them, but one of them is your lifestyle. Did you know that your lifestyle can hinder your prayers? How do we know that? Because the Bible says that Elijah, a man with nature just like ours, but he was a righteous man, his prayers were answered. Okay? Now catch this. I'm not trying to say that somebody that's not righteous, their prayers won't be answered. But if you pray and you continue to do things opposite of what God says, something's not adding up. Right? Now, does that mean that somebody that's not saved, God won't hear their prayer when they ask for salvation? Absolutely not. He will. Right? But if you're praying, God, help me do your will, and then you just keep on doing your own thing, that don't work. Right? So your prayers, you believing in the power of prayer should transform who you are. It should make you want to follow what God's word says. Okay? So your lifestyle has to be in alignment with God. Amen? Let's go to the next one. 1 Peter 3:7, it says this. And it's a real short verse, and I'm going to pick on the husbands. It says, husbands, likewise, dwell with them. And they're talking about who? Their wives. With understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Okay, now what is this saying? What is this saying? If you, husband, don't treat your wife right, your prayers are going to be hindered. And sometimes it's not just the way you treat them, it's the way that you think about them. Right? This is crucial, husbands. And the wives are like, yes, it is. Hallelujah. Been waiting for him to preach this. No, but for real. And I believe it goes beyond just husband and wife relationship. If I have, the Bible talks about this. If I have an ox or something against somebody else, and then I go and pray, the Bible says my prayers will not be answered because I haven't forgiven that person. Forgiveness is huge in the way that God answers your prayers. I cannot get in a fight with this person, disregard that person as a person all in general. I hate that person, can't stand them, right? And then go pray, God, thank you, Jesus. God, I love you. God, answer my prayers. It doesn't work like that. We even see in communion, before taking communion, get right with the people that are around you, right? If God is a God of communion, he wants you to be right with the people that are around you. Okay? These are hindrances to our prayers. And many times, I'm reading a new book called The Bait of Satan by John Bevere. It's talking about how many people get offended. And it's talking about Christians because it seems like, I don't know, Christians are the ones that get offended the most. Right? We have people in church and that person sat in my seat this week and I can't take it. Right? I mean, it's just little stuff like this. I've seen it, right? I've seen somebody almost get in a fight over a seat. And the seat don't have their name on it. But what happens is they allow a root of bitterness to spring up in their life. And now they don't like that person all because of a seat. That seat can actually just be moved. But what I'm saying is, even though I use funny examples, what I'm saying is when you have a problem with somebody and you don't allow forgiveness, what you are doing is you are hindering your prayers. Because the Bible says that if you don't forgive man, I won't forgive you. And how many know that our covenant with God is key to our prayers being answered? If I don't have forgiveness, I'm on a whole nother side of these prayers. So I have to set myself in a position where I say, hey, please forgive me for that situation. Even if you felt like it was really their fault, get it off your chest. Don't allow unforgiveness to hinder your prayers. Don't allow how you interact with somebody else to hinder your prayers being answered, because that will. Right? How many people do we know that went to some churches and they'll never go to that church again because somebody said something to that person? And years later, that person's name come up. You just fuming like, I can't stand that person. And he really sound like you need to be delivered. Right? But what's happening is, it's been years. And you allow that to bother you. I remember there was a situation, somebody texted me something, and I don't know about you, sometimes you mentally text somebody back. Have you ever had that happen? But you actually didn't text them? So I didn't text this person back, and I forgot about it, honestly. I wasn't thinking about it. So I met up with this person one time, and he was like, man, I was mad at you. And I was like, for what? I'm like, I have no idea what you're mad at me about, right? Like, so he's like, you didn't text me back. And I was like, oh, my bad, bro. It was one of those mental texts where I looked at it. Maybe I even typed it and just didn't say, I don't know, but forgive me, please. And he was like, man, I was beefing with you for a long time. And I was like, okay, oh, my bad, bro. I'm sorry. You know, I didn't. You see how the offense he held on to, I didn't even know. Right? And this went on for years. And I was like, okay, are you good now? I'm sorry. Anytime that person texts me, hey, how's it going? Make sure you're good. God loves you, bro. I love you too, man. Make sure we good. Right? But little things like that. And he actually ended up having a whole situation where he had to get back to God. He left God. I was frustrated. And I was like, because I didn't text you back. That it had to be something bigger than that. But I'm sorry, bro. Because even him saying that, it was liberating for him. Because it's something that he held on for a long time. Imagine this. Has anybody ever played that game where you go under a tunnel and you hold your breath when you go through the tunnel? Imagine holding your breath for years and not dying, right? But just imagine, you're trying to breathe. That's what happens when you have an offense. That's what it does to your spirit. Your spirit can't get a, maybe you're not holding your breath all the way, but you can't get a real deep breath. You're suffocating your spirit because of unforgiveness. Because of situations that you allow to bother you. Your freedom and your answers to your prayers start with getting rid of those things. Amen. And my last one is pride is a big hindrance to your prayers. Because many times when you have pride, you're not even going to pray. I don't know about you. I remember when I felt like I was like, oh, God, I ain't going to pray right now. Oh, yeah, God, I love you, but I don't feel like praying. I'm just figure it out myself. Right? And that's kind of scary. I remember the first time, or well, I ain't gonna say the first time, but one time this happened. I was like, I'm gonna go get a job regardless of what God say. Right now, I'm gonna get a job. This guy right next to me, and I've probably told this story, but everybody haven't heard it. And I'm a pastor, so I could tell the stories over and over. But what happened was I had my office, and right down the hallway from my office was a guy that had a security business. Right. And I'm like, man, I'm struggling. I'm like, God, if you ain't going to answer, I'm going to figure this out because I need some financial blessings for me and my children and my wife. Amen. So I'm praying, and I'm like, you know, after a while, I'm like, okay, God, this ain't working. So I'm going to go talk to this. He already said he got a job set up for me. All I got to do is walk the premises every hour, and it's great. I'm going to do it. I didn't ask God for permission. Just went. So I went to the interview. Somebody said interview. I'm about to get this job, man. It's no problem. Because when I go to interviews, I go with confidence. Okay? So I'm in this interview, and I'm and you know, the interview is kind of, it starts to get weird. He's like, oh, man, I'm sorry. This other stuff comes up. And I'm like, this is kind of weird. It's kind of funny right now. Right? And then all of a sudden, it's like, oh, hey, that other position got taken. But you can go to, you can go work at Rainier Beach Liquor Store. And I said, yeah, right. That is not where I'm about to go work. I'm like, you just have to stand out there with a security at the Rainier Beach. I grew up in Rainier Beach, right? So I understand, like, that ain't where I want to be, okay? At all. Somebody say at all. So then I'm just laughing at God. I'm like, God, you're funny, man. You just sabotaged the whole thing, right? So it humbled me. Somebody say humble. Because many times when you go in your own strength, you're going to need to be humbled to know what God wants to do. But while I was there, God allowed me to help this man do something else, which was understand the Bible. And I was like, first of all, I was giving him business tips, and I went to Moses. I said, you see Moses, he had structure to his business, right? He set up the first pyramid system, which was like, if it's not this deep, you handle it. If it gets a little bit deeper, then that person handles it. If it has to go through all these people, then I'll handle it. But Moses' father told him to do that because Moses was getting burnt out. And that's what this guy was doing with his business. He had a lot of employees, but I was like, bro, this ain't organized. And if I ended up working there, I probably wouldn't have stayed there very long. But what it taught me was trust God. And after that, I went back into my little office, and God was like, are you ready to listen now? And I'm like, yeah, I was trying to listen the whole time. But you can't listen when you're proud. So then he was like, I gave you a business idea a year ago. How come you didn't implement it? And I was like, oh, all right. That's how I started my podcast business. People were calling me, hey, we've been waiting for you to do this. And I was like, really? Okay, and you just seen how God put it together. But if I would have stayed proud, I would have missed that, right? Being proud or being prideful is almost, you know, we always call people with proud, they got big heads, right? Their head's big. I can handle it. But everybody that has that kind of head, they end up bumping their head along the way, right? Because they have to understand that God exalts the humble, but he resists the proud, or he humbles those who are proud. Okay? So pride hinders your prayers because what you believe is you can do it on your own. And when you believe you can do it on your own, you're missing the fact that God is the one that has the strength. That's why when I tell my kids that we say strong, 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 confidence, 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 courageous, courageous, in Christ I am courageous. So they know that it's not just being in their own self. Because you being courageous might make you be the next guy who tries to jump the Grand Canyon on a motorcycle. Right now, who's that guy that does that? Evel Knievel? I don't know what in his mind made him think. First of all, did he make it? And nobody knows. Okay, that makes sense. Okay, he. But let's just say Wile E. Coyote does things like that. Wile E. Coyote says, I'm going to jump the Grand Canyon. And it never works. But some of us have faith in ourselves like that. Like we can go do that thing and it's not going to work because it's not what God said. So don't let pride hinder your prayers. Amen. We talked about presenting your requests to God. I pray that was impactful for you today. Let us go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word, God. We pray to God that your word would help us even know how to pray, dear God. Dear God, that we would humble ourselves, dear God. If there's any proud areas of our lives, dear God, anything that is prideful, remove it from us, oh God. Dear God, I pray to God that you would humble us, dear God, so that we can go to you, God, because your word says if we humble ourselves and pray and seek your face and turn from our evil ways, then you will hear from heaven and heal our land. So, God, we present our prayer requests to you in that way. We humbly come to you right now. Dear God, we also pray to God that we would learn to pray with confidence. Dear God, that we expect an answer from you, oh God. I speak, dear God, as we pray, dear God, I speak health into our bodies, oh God. I speak strength, oh God. I even speak salvation in this area, oh God, in this ministry. And we believe that it's going to happen. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Let the church say, amen. If that was impactful to you, go ahead and slip your hand up. Amen. Really quickly, I want to say this. We're going to go to the mic. Can you pull that up? Life of a warrior.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.